Good morning, hardy warriors. Let us continue with Daf Hey. Now, the Mishnah said, starting on Daf Dalin Amud Beis, "Mitaklim kikulei hamayim shibrishut harabim." You're allowed to repair the damaged pits, water pits, or cisterns that are in Rishus Harabim, which implies that it's Eitzurich Harabim, which means that we're surprised to discover Chatita in Chafira Lo. This means that you can only clear them out. So that if you have like gravel that's fallen inside, that you can take out, but you cannot dig new ones. Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Yochanan, Lo shenu alashein rabim tzrichim lehem. This is only if actually they're not needed now by the rabbi. They're not going to be necessary for the time of the moed itself, the ne'ali or the regal, or so on. But if, about rabim tzrichim lehem, then I feel a chafir mutar. So if they're needed now to drink during the moed, so then, of course, you would be able to dig them. So in other words, the point over here, as Rashi points out in the Ksav Yad, is that the Mishnah is bedafka saying it's b'shus rabim, not because the rabim are tzarech lehem, but that they're shayach to the rabim in terms of the ownership. Doesn't mean that they're needed right now. It says the Gemara, is that true though? V'chi rabim tzuchim lehem mishari. Are they really mutter? When the rabim needs them, is it really mutter to dig them out completely? V'atanya chotetim borot shekin umarot sheyachid. An individual who owns these wells or ditch, that's used as a cistern, it's a cave, all of these things can store water. You're allowed to be mechateid, in other words, you can dig them out if they've gotten filled up with gravel and so on. Vein tzarech lomar sharabim. For sure you can do that of a rabbi. But ein chofrim borot shekin umarot sharabim. Not allowed to actually dig them mechatchila, even of a rabbi. Vein tzarech lomar sheyachid. Obviously not of a yochid. Now my lab is rabim tzuchimla. It's mashma that the Brice is talking about where they are needed. And afalpikin, it says over here that you must here not dig them out. And here, because here it doesn't talk about whether it's in the Rishus or Rabbin. It says over here it's the Rabbin. Mashmot, is that it the Rabbin? Says the Gemara, no. Well, I have to say, lo, b'shein Rabbim tzuchim lehem. Wait a second, says the Gemara. You're telling me the Rabbin doesn't need it? Let's take a look again and see now how we can keep the parallel here in the Brisa, because the thing that this Brisa is doing is it gives us a parallel between a similar case of a Yochid and a Rabbin. Now, if you're telling me that ain Rabbim tzuchim lehem, then that would have to be the equivalent case of the Yochid, correct? So the Kavasigabi Yochid would also be shein Yochid tzarech lehem. So the Yochid doesn't require the Chatita. So then why should I do the Chatita? So Chatita Mishari. In Tanya, it says Beferish in the Brisa that Borot, in different Brisa, Borot Shefino Marot Sheyachid Konsi Mayim L'Tokan. You're allowed to let water drain or put a hose into there, or open it up so that the water drips in there, so that you can allow the water to drip in, but, turn Kolomoid, but, Lo Chotetein. You cannot clear them out of gravel. Furthermore, Lo Shafinetit Kehen. You can't plaster over places where the water can leak out into the ground. When it comes to wrapping, you can do chatita and shafinet sekehem, and you can replaster them. So if you're telling me that with the brisa we had a moment ago that says that you're allowed to be chote, just talking about where the yochid does need it, so then you can say over here that this brisa that says it's osters where it doesn't, the yochid doesn't need it. But if you're going to say that the first brisa is talking about the case where the yochid doesn't need it, and afapiken, it's mutter to do chatita, so what is the brisa saying over here? It's usher. Okay, says the Gemara, fine. Let's say you're right. Velamai. So what are you suggesting? That Bisha Yachid Tzarich Lehem. Now what? That the first Brisa was talking about where they are needed. In which case, the Gavasigil Rabim Bisha Rabim Tzarich Lehem. You're going to end up with the same problem, because now you're going to have to parallel it in the other direction. The parallel is that the Rabim is Tzarich Lehem, and Afal Pikein, we're ushering doing Chafira, even though the Rabim needs to have it for the Yemayin. But that's not true, because Chafira Mi Asir. You're telling me that digging for the Rabim when you need it during the Moed is Osir, but Tanya has yet another price that says Borot Shechinu Marot Sho Yachid Kotzi Mayim L'Tochan V'Chotetim Otam. Here, if you have an individual now who owns a cistern or a ditch or a cave, so then you can clear the gravel out. Havalot Shefinet Zitkehem, but you're not allowed to replaster them. V'lo Chotetim L'Tochan. This does not exactly have any kind of clear-cut hesber, and indeed, there are a number of Mefarshim who say this is a wrong gear, you don't use lime as a waterproofing over the entire area, the entire walls of it. You're allowed to dig them, and you're allowed to waterproof them. So, I mean, this has got to be talking about where it's terichim lahem. Now you got a problem. Okay, so let's say that we accept it. So, like Asher Akamaisa, then we're back with the other thing. I mean, so then the first brisa, which tells it was also even with the rabbi Mister lahem, how are you going to now explain that? Three talk. What you're going to have to say is that there was a slight change that you need to say in the original brisa. It should say like, Chotetin borot shel yachid, bishi yachid tzarich lehem, ve'in tzarich lo Amar B'shal Rabim, you're allowed, if there is a tzorach of the yochid, you're allowed to clear out, you're allowed to do the chatita if he needs it. And obviously in the Rabim, because the Rabim, kishu Rabim tzuchim lehem, afil chafira mutar. In a similar case of the Rabim, forget about discussing merely the chatita, even chafira would be mutar. So this now avoids the problem by putting in those words. Ve'in chofrin barot shechin sharabim, you can't do the chafira of even of a Rabim in a case where ein tzorach, ein a Rabim tzorach lehem, and for sure, ein tzorach l'masho yachid, if it's talking about the chi, ein yachid tzorach l'mafil chatita namiya. So obviously you can't dig a yachid, because where a yachid doesn't need it, you cannot even do chatita. So this way it becomes very clear that chatita for yachid is mutter only when it's tzorach lehem, and chafira for Rabim is mutter when it's tzorach lehem. Okay, what's a raya? Amar Rav Ashi matniti nami daika. If you look carefully into our own Mishnah, you could see that this is true. Niktani, what do you think the meaning of the words are osin kol tzorchei rabim, which doesn't really add anything to that? What did it add? Kol tzorchei rabim. Kol latu yimai. Lav latu yechafira. Chora, the only thing that the Mishnah could be adding is that you're allowed to dig now a well a chatchila. I was like, more why? Maybe it just means kol tzorchei rabim. Latu yodetanya. Yotzi l'kavitza tadrachim. Like we learn in the Braisa, you go out to clear off any kind of thorns or obstacles on the road, you can fix up the roads, and the strataot is this word, strataot, which meant a larger area where people will come to the shuk, survives in the autostrata today, same kind of idea. And also, you measure the mikvahs to make sure that they have arboim psah, because after all, after the summer, it's already possible that the mikvahs now, bizman hachag, have lost a lot of water, simply from evaporation. If there's no arba'im sa'ah, so then magil letoch arba'im sa'ah, we see to it that rainwater should flow into it. And furthermore, minayin shim lo yatsu v'yasu kol elun. How do you know that if they didn't go out to do all of the above and take care of the roads, shikol damim shnishku sham halei aliyim katuv kilu heim shafu? It's as if the Bezdin itself is personally responsible for any blood that was spilled as a result of their being obstacles on the road, either because of accidents that happened on the road, or because he wasn't able to drive fast enough on the road to get away from the cops, and so on. Talmud Lomar, V'haya Alecha Damim. It says over there that the dam is considered to be your own responsibility. And this is being said, if you don't take care to it, the blood shall not be shed, then the blood is on your own shoulders. So just like over there, it's talking about making sure that there's a din of din and nefashas with his road scheme. So here too, means that if you don't do what's necessary to fix society and to make sure that things work the way they're supposed to work, you're responsible. Therefore, that cannot be what the call is coming to add. So there, what is left? The call must be coming to add now. The cases that we just had, not the case of the chafira. Look at all of these cases. What are you talking about? It says beferish. These cases are mentioned in the Mishnah. So when it says, what do you think it's adding? I'm telling you it's adding chafira. Love that to yechafira. Shma mina indeed that digging is mutter as long as the rabbi mitzvich in the hand. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah is mitzayim et hakorot. So during Chol HaMoed, you mark the kvarim to make sure that people should not accidentally become tamei, or that truma shouldn't become tamei, kachim shouldn't become tamei. Om Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Remez that siyun kvarot min haTorah minayin. Where do we find a remez that it's an issue to actually mark graves in the Torah? Talmud lomar v'ra'u etzem adam uvana etzlo tziyun. It says beferish over here that by the time of Gog, that after Milchemes Gog u'Magog, the Ovrim will go through Bavaret, Ratzav Adam, Vanat, Zatzion, Akavro, Atom, Mekabrim, Ogei, Amongo. So clearly, there's an issue to be Mekaver and to mark until the time of the Kvura takes place. Now, we just say, isn't that a Raya? Not necessarily. Because it could be that the point over here is a special situation because of the need to show the world that Klal Yisrael takes care of the army of Gog u'Magog, even if they've all been wiped out. And it certainly is not exactly the din, because the halacha, as we'll see, is that you only need to make a tzion where there's going to be tumas oil. And over here, there's not tumas oil because these are not Jews, not metami ba'oil. And so if that's the case, you can't really call it a Beferish HaRaita. Asks now, Amar Ravina Lerashi, well, that's, you call that now a remez, let's see you. I want to know a remez from the Torah. Well, what good is it for me to find a remez from Yecheskel? Yecheskel is Divrei Kabbalah, but I want to see it, where does it say in Taras Meisha? Says Ravashi Limu L'taymeh. Well, what kind of question is that? When Rav Chista said, Dovazem Yitaras Meisha Rabbeinu L'lamadnu, this Prahalocha, which we've mentioned many times, the Kohen, who is an oral, even though he's not an oral on purpose, an oral because maybe he comes from a family in which there's problems with clotting and so on, so he is not allowed to nonetheless to do the Aveda. So it says that he told him, we don't know this from Taras Meisha, but Midivrei Yecheskel ben Buzi L'lamadnu, we can learn it from Yecheskel. It's called Ben Nechar, Al Lever, Al Basar, Erel Lever, Al Basar, Lo Yavon Migdashi. So that means that there's no heter to do Aveda from someone, even though he's not an Oral Lev. He would like to do the mitzvah, but he's not allowed to, and he remains an Oral Basar. He's not supposed to come in to do the Aveda. So I'll ask you, says Rav Ashi, you should say, what kind of silly ray is that? And what, when Yecheskel came along to teach us halacha, then he would be a Navi Sheker. You can't learn halacha from the Navi. How did we know it before? Yeah, the Gemara Gemiri, well, the point of here is, of course, we have a halacha in Meshi Mitzinai, that's the din. Comes along now, Yecheskel, V'yasma HaKroz, Yecheskel's just coming now, that there should be a mokum in the Tanakh that people read, they'll remember this halacha and so on. That's the pshat that we're looking for, Rambam. So, okay, now the Gemara Gemiri, when we brought you right from Yecheskel, we weren't saying this is the mokum in any way. We're just saying that we can find a remez in Yecheskel, begetter asmacha, that it should be now, Yecheskel asmacha akro, should be a pasuk that's written in the Torah Shebiksav, that allows us to refer to this halacha. Another raya that there's a din of tziyun kvaris, Rabbi Avu Amar Mi'alcha, tamei tamei yikra, referring to a mitzvah, right? So it's supposed to, it says, Avir, he should cry out that he's tamei. From there we dash a tum'a korala v'omeres lo proshes, an issue for tum'a to call out and to announce that he's tamei. So that means that all tum'a should call out. In this case, it will call out through our making a mark on it with the line marker. And v'omeres lo prosh, it tells the passerby, be careful, there's tum'a here. V'chin omer Rabbi Uziel, bar d'rei the Rabbi Uziel Rabba, tum'a korala v'omeres lo prosh. The tum'a always calls out. We're supposed to make sure the tum'a essentially calls out and warns a person to stay away. But that pasuk we need for something else. Don't we need it for what it says in the Braita, which means from here you see that a person is mechuyav to allow the rabbin to know of his pain. So that people should be mispalel. So that would mean that tamei yikra is not that the people should be wary of coming into contact with tumah, but on the contrary, that they should become aware and sympathetic to what's happening to him. Says the Gemara in Cain, if it's only coming for that, why can't it just say, you should call out the saying, oi, 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 I'm tummy. What's the pshat abe tummy? Shramina tarte. So there's 2 points. So there's 2 things. First of all, I want people to know that I'm tummy, so it'll be mevakish rachamim. And the second one, I want them to know that I'm tummy, so that they shouldn't be mitame themselves. Another mokum, a biomer mehocha. So if I allow somebody who has no idea that there's tumma there to go walking along without the slightest suspicion that there's tumma there, it's the equivalent of putting a stumbling block in front of the blind. It's from the Pasuk Velmar Solu Solu Panu Derech. So Solu Solu means pave, clear the road. In fact, clear the road. In other words, see to it that there's nothing on the road that could cause a person to be over on an Issa. Rav Yoshua, it's a mikshol, essentially. Rav Chanina says, Rav Chanina Amar, Harimu mikshol Derech Ami. Indeed, that's the Hemshech of the Pasuk. Harimu mikshol. Isn't this a mikshol? So as a mikshol, forget about the mitzvah of clearing. You're supposed to make sure you don't come to a mikshol. This is a mikshol. Rav Yeshua Bereda Rav Yidi Amar, Vodat Alemet Aderech. It says that you're supposed to allow people to know the correct path. It says they've been the original Kabbalah Torah, as Yisro says. So the making it possible for a person to have a path in which he can go literally, should be included in this. Means separate them, make them nazirim, keep them away from tuma. What better way to do it than to allow them to know where the tuma is? You have to take care to guard that which I have charged you to guard. In other words, asu mishmeret u'mishmati. Make sure that you're set up an additional safeguard for that which I was mitzava you on, which is tumah. And the safeguard is to see to it that there's a sign, an indication that there's tumah there. Ravina Amar. Ravina says that this of course is a remes to specifically mishmati, which is a lashon of truma. Over there it says, ani hineni natati lechas mishmeret trumotai, and that's the mishmeret le'mishmati is see to it that truma should not become tameh. Ramela is understood to include all truma. Ravina Amar.
out.
The sum derech arenu b'yesh Elohim. That when you set the road straight, then I will show him, says the Shechina, the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here too, by setting the road straight, I indicate where it's mutter to travel on a road and where it's aser. Om Rav Yeshua ben Levi, this last pasuk goes as another famous remez, that kol ha-sham orchutav. Somebody who keeps a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he's always measures the schar mitzvah, the schar avera, the hefsed, this is the essence, as the Mesil Sisharim speaks about at such a length. The only way in which a person can grow is to be sham orchutav, constantly keeping clear his path so that he knows where he's going. Zoche v'ro'eb Yeshuato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, where do we see this? We darshan it v'sam derech. Somebody who sets the way out to grave. V'sam derech, rather v'sham derech. One who constantly estimates his way. So he's always analyzing whether this is correct or that, or the other way is correct. Ar eno b'yesh Elokim. The famous, this is the book that Benjamin Franklin wrote, which became afterwards incorporated in Judaism under the title of Cheshbon HaNefesh with appropriate changes. Nobody would know where it came from. But it's essentially his idea, and this is, he said this has changed his life. He used to keep a notebook with measuring all our chotav. He had 13 things that he would measure, and every time he was over on one of them, he would write it down in his notebook, and he credits that basically for all of his success. Rabbi Yannai had a certain Talmud that would, every single day he gave a shir, he had tremendous questions. But b'Shabbat the Rigel of him actually, when it was time for the Shabbos Cholamoed, when they would give now the drush, or this is the Shabbos the Rigel could refer to, the Shabbos that was Shloshim Yom, or 2 weeks, according to some shitas, before the Rego, where they would give a drusha, like a Shabbos HaGadol drusha, the Halachas of the Chag, and so on. So then everybody would show up, and it would be attended, and highly advertised, so then, lo havim actually, then he would never ask him any kashas, because he was afraid that, what if he would catch him out on something, and he would embarrass him. Kori alei. So because of that, Rabbi Yannai said, oh, that's a mensch. On such a person, it's v'sham derech arenu b'yesh Elohim. He's constantly analyzing, is this the correct time to ask? Tun rabbanan. In mitzaynin lo, kezayit ben hamed v'lo alesem kisora. Something that ultimately is not going to be metame. So you have now over here kezayit ben hamed. Exactly. Kezayit ben hamed is metame now, but it's not going to remain a kezayit ben hamed very long. Or an etzem kisora. An etzem kisora is this very small, which is metame. And the truth would be, this would be true even if it's more than a sora, because over here the tuma is a tumas maga, and the halacha of being mitzayin we'll see is only in a tumas oel. V'lo al davar she'en metame ba'ol, not on anything else which is not metame ba'ol, and despite the fact that Kezayis ben Hamed is metame ba'ol, as we'll see. Ava mitzayin ala shidra v'ala gugolet, however, those parts of the skeletal remains which would be metame, so if you have the spinal column, or you have the skull, or over there if you have a complete spinal column and a complete skull, halacha is that even though normally you need rov minyan and binyan and so on, but these two we have halacha that these are metame also, so that even for that, and rov binyan rov minyan of a mace, and also for bones that end up being the rov of the frame, or the rov of the total numbers of bones that are in the skeleton, and this is the rov would be out of ramach evorim, 248 evorim would be 125 different bones, because if you have those number of bones, then they would be metame ba'ol. We don't make any kind of marker for tuma when everybody knows that this is a makom of tuma. Let's say this is a beis hakvaras. I mean, nobody's going to bring truma into the beis hakvaras. Avo metzainin ala sfekot. We do make a tzion where we have a suffix, which is a basis of there being tuma. And even though we don't mamish have a raya that it's tuma, we will put a marker there. What are we referring to? Sfekot? Well, things like sechachot, upraot, and a beit hapras. So if you have now, sechachot means branches that stick out from a tree. And over here, that's actually in Machlokas, we've shown him exactly what it means to, what it means over here. So Rashi Lind is talking about over here that there's roads that lead to Beis HaKvaras, and there are above the roads, like a canopy of a tree, or there's praot, which are stones that shut out into the area from walls along the side of the road. So it's possible that because these areas are somewhat shaded or somewhat private, that people were actually, let's say it was getting dark, and they were afraid they wouldn't get to the Beis HaKvaras in time, so maybe they buried in a place like that. And also Beis HaKvaras, and we'll see exactly what a Beis HaPras is. Let's assume right now that the Beis HaPras is an area where there had been a kever, and it was plowed under, and now the skeletal remains were scattered in the whole area of the field. We're going to talk about this more in a moment. Ve'in ma'amidim tziyun b'mekom ha'tuma. You don't place the tziyun itself directly over the tuma, because then by the time somebody notices it, it's going to be too late, and if he was carrying any truma and so on, it's going to be ruined. Shelo la'afsid et ha'tarot. But on the other hand, in marchikin tziyun b'mekom tuma, we don't put it far away to indicate that it's tuma, because then people will think that they've already hit the tuma before they did. Shelo la'afsid eretz Yisrael. And that entire area, people are not going to use, because they think that it's a mokum of a kever, and they're not going to, certainly not going to plant there, and that's going to be mafsid eretz Yisrael. So now, the question is like this. We said before that we don't make a tzion on something that's not metame b'ol, and we included in a list gezayid min hamet, which is certainly doesn't belong in that list, because gezayid min hamet ain't a metame b'ol. I mean, is it true that a gezayid min hamet is not metame? Doesn't it say beferish in the Mishnah of Atznan? Eilish a metame b'ol gezayid min hamet. Is it beferish that it is metame b'ol? Omer of Papa, yeah, of course it's metame. What we're talking about over here is ocha b'gezayid b'tzumtzam askina. We're talking about you have exactly a gezayid. The sof sof michse chaser. It's certainly going to rapidly decompose, and it's not going to be a gezayis. So then, that's going to happen is mutav yisrafu alav truma of kachum lefisha. It's better if somebody makes a mistake in the short while where it's still a gezayis. Okay, but if we put it a marker there, it's going to end up to be permanently tamei val yisrafu alav lo'olam. And here, people are going to be burning truma of kachum even though they're not supposed to be burnt it because it's no longer a gezayis. So memela doesn't make sense that if something which is going to be such a short time from the time that it's buried until the time is less than a kezias, you're talking about a day or whatever, it doesn't make sense to mark it. It's better to take a chance that someone may not know that it was buried there and not have a tzion, a permanent tzion. Okay, then we said before ve'elohin asvekot, we said this chachot, the peraot. What are these things? Chachot are nilan ha'mesach al ha'aretz, and the peraot avonim peruot sayotzes min ha'gadar. So that these are things that are in areas that are near a Beis HaKfarais, and it could also mean that as Rashi, our Rashi, which is apparently not the accurate Rashi, but the Rashi here explains Sichachot is a case which there is tuma under a branch and we don't know which branch it is. So over here, there's its possibility, since there's a space between the branches, that the tuma will not go from one area to the other. Nonetheless, you have to mark on the ground all of the ground that is keneged, a branch above it, because we're afraid that someone may come under the branch that has the tuma, even though we don't know which one it is, so we mark all of them. The same thing would be true. We have a number of different pro'ot. Each one is at least a tefach. If it's a tefach, it can be metame ba'ohel, anybody who passes under it. We don't know which one it is. So we include this idea in peraot. Anyway, continue now in the Gemara. And the other thing that it says in the Brice is the Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras, what is a Beit HaPras? Kiditzna, achoresh et hakever, somebody who plows under a grave. Harei who was Beit HaPras. He creates now that area all around that grave. Since I'm afraid now that there are pieces, and the pieces now, if somebody comes into contact directly with the Etza, he will become Tomei. Is it because of that? We were gozer the entire area. How much of an area? Kamuos. A whole length of the furrow that the plow would have dragged it. So in all directions, it would be 100 amot from where the grave initially was. And that means that we are now marking a Beit HaPras, despite the fact that the body may be broken up into small pieces. As the Gemara, but wait a second, I thought we said before that the only time that we make a tziyun is if it's metame be'oil. But Beit HaPras, mi metame be'oil? I thought a Beit HaPras is not metame b'ol, because Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, min ha'peach adam Beit HaPras v'holech. In a case where a person has to go through for a tzorach mitzvah, like to bring his korban pesach. So what he's allowed to do is he can bring a bellow and blow his way over the ground of the Beit HaPras, and if there are any small pieces of bone, they would be blown away. Now, obviously, if there's going to be talking about tumas ohel, then this is certainly not going to help very much, because I could be right now leaning my head as I'm blowing my way across, leaning my head over pieces that are large enough to be metame ba'ol. So clearly, there is no chashash of tumas ohel here. So why is it that I have to make a tzion? Rabbi Yehuda. So first of all, so according to now, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, you can blow your way across. Shmeidu Ula Amar, Beit HaPrashi Nidash Tahor. More than that, if a lot of people have already walked here, so then that means that any bone is going to be less than the Shir of a Kadasha, which is Tahor anyway. It's not going to be Metami, so we don't have to worry about it because so many people walked over it. Now, obviously, we're not going to say that that would help for something that was buried under and would be Metame Baya. So, why in the world are we making now the Tzion over it? Amar Rav Papa Lo Kasha. Papa says, well, just hold on a second. There are two different issues over here. We're talking about over here, not a Soda which was Nechrash Bakever. We're talking about a Soda Sha'avad Bakever. It's talking about, we know that someone was buried in this area. We don't know precisely where. It was never plowed under. And the entire field, since it's known that there's a grave in that field, this entire field is Metame, and it's Metame indeed Ba'ohel, because anybody who walks across the field may be passing directly over the grave, and even though it's only a Durabbanan, but nonetheless, we make a Tzion because it's Metame Ba'ohel. Ask the Gemara, what, a Sada Shavad Bakever Beit HaPras Karele? I mean, certainly the word Beit HaPras doesn't really fit very well over here. I mean, a pras means a broken piece. Why would we use the word pras for meaning a Sada where there's an entire grave that wasn't broken? Says the Gemara, no, we do. Maybe it's a borrowed term, but the fact is, what's not? Says Beferish on the Mishnah, Shlosha Beit HaPrasein. There are, in fact, says the Mishnah Olos, three different types of Beit HaPras. There isn't really such a Beferish of Mishnah Olos, but if you look through three Mishnayos and Olos, you'll see that it turns out that there's Shlosha Beit HaPras. Because there's not a Beferish of Mishnah like this, it could be, it should say, Tanya, as the Ritva writes. In any event, there's three types of Beit HaPras. Sada Shneh Vad Bakever, so I don't know where it was. Sada Shneh Harash Bakever, which is the classic Beit HaPras. And a Sadei Bochim, a place where people come to cry. My Sadei Bochim, what exactly is that? Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba Mishmeidu Ula Amar. Sada Shemaftirin Ba Meitim. It's talking about where they bring now, a place where they bring bodies from afar, and it's brought now close to the Beis HaKvaras, and the people that were sending it give it over to the local Chavra Kadisha. The local Chavra Kadisha, they're the ones that have to do now the Taira, and they bring it to the Beis HaKvaras. So at the place where the body is handed over at the airport or wherever the place that they used to bring the Kvarim to from afar, that place is called the Sdei Bochin because there's a mocker there for crying over the mace. So in that place, were geyser also Tuma as a Beis HaPras. But I'm a my, what in the world would that have to do with a Beis HaPras? Mishum Yush Ba'alim Naguba. Over here, it's because of Yush Ba'alim. The Yush Ba'alim is that since the body was brought from far away, so it could be it's in pretty bad shape, and there may even be body parts that fell off, and the fact is that it's not clear who's responsible, and it's not exactly a pleasant task, and furthermore, I mean, it may be close to Shkia, and everybody's doing the best they can to get things ready, and because of that, years by Olam B'Zipshat, and nobody wants to take full responsibility, and they're mityayish, and who knows, it could be that there were actually a varim that were left behind. Okay, this is the way that Rashi learns, and also some of the Balei Tosfos. There's also a completely different pshat, which is brought by the Ritva and other Rishayim, that there is no din, really, of an actual chashash of Tuma in a state bochin. This is a halacha to treat it as if it was a place that was Tame. And the reason we say Yerush Balei means that what we wanted to do is to see to it that if a field had been used for a long time for this purpose, and it belongs to a particular individual, so we wanted to make it a mokum that was Tame, because we don't want the owner to claim now that he could take it back. So Yerush Balei is sort of like an eminent domain kind of thing, to make sure that the Balei remains miwash from taking it back from the rabbi. In any event, so what are we coming out now? That in a case where it's a Beis HaPras, where it actually was plowed under, there you do not need a tziyun, because there you don't have a problem of tumasayel. Ask the Gemara, is that true? So Shenech Rashba Kever Loboi Tziyun, the only type of tziyun you need for Beis HaPras is Avad Bakever, and not a Sada Shenech Rashba Kever Vahatanya. Doesn't it say in a Braisa? Matzah Sadeh Mitzuyenet Ve'en Yadua Mativa. Somebody now finds a field where it's clearly marked with lime, and he doesn't know what we're talking about, whether this is a field that has in it a kever that had been plowed under, in which case he would be allowed to cross it by blowing across it, or whether it's an Avad Bakever, in which case, of course, what good is it to blow across it, and he's going to have to walk all the way around. So here is how he can know. Yeshva Ilanot, we had If trees have been planted in this field, so then for sure the grave was plowed over, because this is a field that is always being plowed for the trees, in which case he would be allowed to blow his way across, so that the area constantly being plowed, and he doesn't have to worry that maybe there was a full kever there. But there's no trees there, so then be a duashavad bakever. Then you should know that, or you have to assume, in other words, doesn't mean literally you know, but you can assume that there's a kever, and that, why would I think that anybody knowing that there was a kever there would chas v'shalom go to plow it over on purpose? So if there's no indication that it's been plowed, then we have to assume that the tzion is marking an actual kever, in which case it will be metame ba'el. It's not going to do you much good to blow your way across unless you for sure don't want to bring your korban pesach. So, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, as Rabbi Yehuda says, you can never rely on any kind of siman, and it's always assumed to be metame ba'el. Ad she'esham zaken o talmid, you need to have either a zaken or a chacham, or even a talmud chacham, young talmud chacham. Because even if other people will tell you something, you can't really trust them because they don't know exactly the halachas or the difference. They don't pay that much attention to what exactly had taken place there. So, okay, but in any event, I mean, it's clear over here that you put a tzion even where there was a plowed over kever, because otherwise, I mean, we should just say the very fact that there's a tzion means that there's a full kever there. No, the price over here is talking about kitani b'sodesh avad b'kever d'tzainua. Initially, there was a burial there. They forgot exactly where the kever was, so then they went ahead and they put up a tzion. And that tzion, indeed, was metame ba'el, 100%. And then I certainly would not have put up a tzion on an area in which was a nechrash, the kever had been plowed under. What happened over here is if afterwards it was plowed, and then, of course, you again could have blown your way across. So he wants to know, this person's coming here, wants to know, clearly there was once a kever that was shalem over here. But is it still in that state, or can I now blow my way across? If there's trees that have been planted here and that are cared for here, so then obviously it had been plowed over. If the trees, there's no trees there, so I have now basically the same field that was always here. So then that means that we're talking about a kever that is still there, then there's a matami bowl, and therefore there's nothing to do. Why don't I have to be worried that maybe the ilanot are only in the area in the middle, and there's still a full kever in the area which is outside, in which case maybe the part of the it didn't say over here, it just said ilanot, which is marshma anywhere. So then maybe the person who planted the trees, he knew that the grave was more on the outside, so he didn't plow there, he plowed only the area that he knew. But in Achinami, the rest of it may still have a kever shalom. How do you know? Well, Kiryamar Ula says, in reference to a completely different issue, that we're talking about cases, we could use the words ilanot in cases where ba'omdin ala gvulin, where trees are only around the outside of the field. So Achinami ba'omdin ala gvulin, we're talking about over here, where the trees are on the outside, and therefore it can't be that there's a grave on the outside. Ask the Gemara, so maybe there's a grave on the other way around, on the inside. So v'dilmatumim agavoy ilanot mibaroi, maybe the ilanot are only on the outside. And the tomb is inside. It answers the Gemara b'misubachim. What we mean is that we have over here trees that are basically covering over. Misubach is like the modern word, you know, complex. Tisbochet is a complex, a psychological complex. So it's talking about that they're basically scattered through the field, and the branches are all intertwined, and because of that, the entire area would have been plowed under. Nibaitema. You know what? We'll get to Nibaitema tomorrow because I've already done that. Okay, man. Enjoy. Have a great Sunday, and enjoy those bagels and all the stuff coming from I hope at least you've been getting stuff from the restaurant down the road. Okay, bye.